DW Africa Link.
Today's topic takes us to Malawi for a critical story that's sending shockwaves through the nation. The Judicial Service Commission has launched a bold investigation into allegations of corruption within Malawi's judiciary. Is the system meant to uphold justice now in the spotlight for betraying it? Stay tuned as we unpack the implications of this probe and what it could mean for trust in the courts, accountability, and the future of justice in Malawi. My name is Josie Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
The Judicial Service Commission in Malawi has launched an investigation into the country's judiciary over allegations of corruption. This follows accusations of corruption involving various judiciary members, including judges and court officials. The commission has assured citizens that it will investigate with utmost transparency and diligence to restore faith in the judicial system. So how damaging is this development, and how can Malawi regain trust in the judicial system? Let's speak to Patrick Mpaka, president of the Malawi Law Society and also DW correspondent in Malawi, Chimwemwe Padatha. All right. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us here on DW Africa Link podcast. Now, I will start with you, Patrick Mpaka, as the president of the Malawi Law Society. I know that you're deep into this topic. Tell us what you make of these corruption allegation reports and the decision by the Judicial Service Commission to launch a probe.
These allegations have a background where in June 2021, the judiciary and the Malawi Law Society looked into the challenges that were facing the administration of justice. You know, some manifestations of some challenges like delays in the delivery of judgments, a number of challenges. So actually, there was a joint task force that the Law Society, as members of the lawyers who are members of the profession that practice in the courts, after noting the challenges, had a meeting with the judiciary and agreed to say, let's inquire into these challenges. What are their causes? So there was a large task force which had the Malawi Law Society, the Malawi Judiciary, the Legal Aid Bureau, the Malawi Police, the Malawi Human Rights Commission, the civil society organizations, and the Ministry of Justice all created a big task force which published a statement in the newspaper in June 2021 to say that we have noted that there are challenges in the administration of justice. We want to inquire into this and find solution short-term and long-term. But that task force never made a lot of progress. As a result, the Law Society started its own initiatives, and this culminated in recent times with a lot of effort involving the Ministry of Justice, the Malawi Judiciary, and the Law Society to try and pass a legislation to regulate the conduct of judicial officers. That is still work in progress, but these recent allegations and the launch of the investigation by the Judicial Service Commission falls within that broader context. It's not really out of context. It's a part of these efforts that have been going on within the profession to try and improve the administration of justice.
Right. I know that you just touched on the fact that there was a document that came into the public, and then there were issues that there has to be an inquiry to be launched in the judiciary system. But Chimwemwe, you are a reporter on ground. Just to understand from you, there should be a reason, a big reason why this is happening. Tell us about the actual incident that has triggered this latest investigation.
All right, Josie, the investigation emanated from allegations by one lawyer known as Alexia Sigamangira. And this lawyer has been accusing judicial officials, including some judges, of being corrupt. And he went as far as naming some of these officers through various social media platforms, such as Facebook. And this is what attracted attention of Malawians, who are now calling for thorough investigations on his claims, as well as demands of transparency in operations of the country's judiciary. And these claims by this lawyer, Alexia Sigamangira, are what ignited an online campaign dubbed the Justice for All movement, aimed at fighting any form of injustice. And I should also say that the demands by Malawians and various human rights bodies, such as the Malawi Human Rights Commission, MHRC, are what have necessitated investigations instituted by the country's Judicial Service Commission.
Right. Now, Patrick, you know that anything that ends up on social media spreads like wildfire. Now, how damaging can such allegations of corruption be for the judicial system in Malawi?
I think that's a very good question. And to say the least, it can be very damaging, because we must understand that it's important that the judiciary, as an arm of government that is responsible for enforcing the constitution and the laws, it ought to be independent, okay? But what protects the independence of a judiciary is the community's consensus that such independence is a quality worth protecting. But this comes from the accountability mechanisms that are there in place to ensure that there is independence, and then the people can trust. So when the community is beginning to lose beginning to lose trust in the judiciary, it's a huge problem, because the judiciary does not usually make populist decisions. Mm-hmm. It has to make decisions based on the law and the facts that are presented before it, which is why it's regarded as an independent arm of government. So it needs to be trusted by the community, that when it says something which is not even popular, it is accepted. That I think that's what, with their understanding professionalism, this is the position of the matter.
Absolutely.
So it's quite damaging, yeah, sure.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering now, you know, when such things are happening, Patrick, and there are ongoing cases, do you feel like this is also affecting some victims or cases that are actually in the courts as we speak?
In some way, yes, because I honestly think that suppose the judge is named in the public sentiments that are circulating, your name is mentioned and you are presiding over a case. I think that you'll be looking on your shoulder a lot to say, if I decide this way, what will people think? So I think that this has got an impact on ongoing cases, because I think that the judges now are having to be on the lookout to say, am I named or am I not named, or what do the people know? You know, so I think those things can really destabilize the mind of those that are sitting in the judicial office. And I think that the early resolution is quite urgent and would be called for at this very moment.
You're right. Now, Chimwemwe, what do we know about the terms of the ongoing investigations? Do we already have like timelines and issues that really need to be covered?
Yes, of course. Several terms and conditions have been highlighted by the Judicial Service Commission. And the commission issued a statement the past few days with a call to members of the public to furnish the commission with credible information or evidence related to the allegations at hand within a maximum of 7 days since the issuance of this call. Just to be precise, the call was issued on 31st October. And the commission has also stated that the investigations on some cases by judges that are allegedly embroiled in corrupt practices will be conducted within a period of 4 weeks. Apart from that, the commission has also specifically pointed out four cases being handled by some of the judges that were mentioned by lawyer Alexia Sigamangira as the ones that will be investigated during this period. So that's all what I can say about the terms and conditions that have been set by the Judicial Service Commission.
Right. Now, Patrick, you mentioned something about even, public's perception. It's a concern, because obviously now every judge is just watching their back to see if their name is going to be named there. And, you know, this is something that is in the public domain, and the public now is watching and wants to see what's going to happen. What is needed then to restore faith back in the judiciary after this incident?
So there are two principles that really need to be brought to bear: judicial accountability and judicial independence. These are the two principles, the two aspects that underpin public confidence in the judicial system. And it's important that these two aspects are balanced because, as a country, you need a judiciary which can be trusted. So, to restore public confidence, it requires that the institutions that are established to regulate co conduct of judicial business must act quickly and transparently, and then come out with the results so that either the judges that are being named are cleared, or maybe if they are in the wrongs, the appropriate remedy is given. So that this is the way in which public confidence and can be quickly restored.
Yeah. Now, Chimwemwe, you or work a lot with the public. We are talking now about public perception. What are Malawians saying actually about the incident and their trust in the judiciary?
Frankly speaking, the allegations that Ikamangira is making are coming as the truth to the public, because he's also part of the same judiciary. He works with the very same people that he is implicating. And Malawians are discrediting the judiciary because this is not the first time these allegations have come out against the judiciary. There have been cases where judges were accused of receiving bribes to give a ruling in favor of someone, especially I'm talking about high profile cases. And I think that what needs to be done now is that the judiciary should be vigilant in clearing its name if it is to earn back the public's trust. I'm quite sure that the investigation will either cement these allegations or clear the judiciary of any wrongdoing. So at the moment, all eyes are on findings by the commission. The anticipation is very high among most Malawians.
Patrick Mpaka, president of the Malawi Law Society, and also our DW correspondent in Malawi, Chimwemwe Patata, many thanks. At the Africa Link podcast, we always look across the continent to see how the stories and issues we are dealing with play out or at times even overlap. Let's head to Ghana, where judicial corruption and associated investigations are familiar. Do you remember in 2015 when the renowned Ghanaian investigative journalist Anas Aremeyaw Anas conducted a 2-year undercover investigation of the judiciary in Ghana? Following that exposé, 22 circuit court judges and magistrates were suspended, and 12 high court judges were placed under investigation. The sacked judges were part of over 100 judicial staff captured in secret video recordings by Anas. But Ghana has moved on since. So, how has the country progressed? Let's speak to Wilberforce Asare, a Ghanaian judicial service analyst who's also closely followed the corruption scandal that hit Ghana's judiciary.
So, this event that took place in our country by virtue of an investigation by a journalist popularly known as Anas Aremeyaw Anas was a very heavy embarrassment on the third arm of government. Obviously, you do know that there is the executive, there is the judiciary, there's legislature. The judiciary in our country is the third arm of government. And because we practice constitutional supremacy, the judiciary is a very important institution because they interpret the constitution and give direction to the constitution. So for the judiciary to have somewhat over 40 members, both from the lower courts and the superior courts, the High Court. In Ghana, the High Court, the Court of Appeal, and the Supreme Court are the superior courts of judicature. So, for you to have High Court judges identified or finger pointed for acts of corruption and corruption-related offenses was a very big embarrassment to the country and to the judicial service. It has never happened before in our history.
Right. Now, how has the judiciary now been able to recover? Because I mean, I know that people easily lose trust in such people, but how has it been now? Has it recovered? Has it even been able to do so?
Well, yeah, so this happened, I believe, in 2005 or 2006. It was under the leadership of Chief Justice Georgina Wood. Now, subsequent to her, we have had three Chief Justices. So we have had Justice Sophia Kufu, we have had Justice Enini Eboah, and now Justice Gertrude Torkornoo. And the reason why I mentioned these names is because you should just see the space with which we have traveled, because something happened within the time frame of a particular Chief Justice. It goes off and we have had three new Chief Justices, all of them attempting to implement reforms to the judicial service. What I can tell you as a judicial correspondent, and for that matter, a court correspondent, is that over the last 15 years or so, when these reforms have been introduced, I can tell you on a fact that it has yielded a lot of fruits. And that is the judiciary is now much more respected in Ghana than it was in 2015 when this Anas Aremiyaw Anas investigations unearthed the deep-seated corruption that was in Ghana's judicial service. And so over the period, there's been great improvement, and it's as it stands today, the judiciary is a lot more trusted than it was in 2005 when these incidents happened.
Yeah, but at that time, Wilberforce, when this happened, how was the backlash like, especially to this investigative journalist, Anas Aremiyaw Anas?
Well, yeah, so you can imagine that justices of our Superior Court of Judicature have been caught taking bribes from persons who were seeking justice or and all that. That was a very serious development. Some of the justices tried to fight back, and so they filed multiple suits and multiple applications against Anas Aremiyaw Anas and trying to get the court to declare his modus operandi as illegal and alien to Ghana's constitution and the statutes in our country. He himself, Anas, by virtue of the structure of our constitution, had to make a formal complaint to the president, because our laws require that before a justice of the Superior Court is removed, it must be based on a stated misconduct, and someone must petition the president. The president must send the petition to the Chief Justice for the Chief Justice to set up a 5-member committee and to establish whether there's a prima facie case before they even go ahead to do the investigation. So Anas himself had to use the judicial process to get remedy after his investigation. And so these judicial officers who know the law inside out also employed the law, trying to use it against Anas Aremiyaw, essentially attacking his modus operandi and trying to say that what he was doing was more of entrapment than an investigation. And so there was a backlash, particularly to the man who did the investigations.
Right. And do you feel like there were also some other government institutions or organizations that had to like pull up their socks in that period? You know, if an attack like this happens with the High Court, I mean, the courts of Ghana, we can talk of other government ministries.
Well, yes. So the Attorney General's Department and Ministry of Justice had a role to play. And their role that they had to play was whether or not the happenings amount to criminal offenses for which our constitution gives the Attorney General the power to prosecute. And so the Attorney General's department was activated to investigate these findings and to establish whether or not there are viable avenues for purposes of prosecuting these justices of the Superior Court of Judicature who were caught up in these investigations. But it will interest you to know that per our laws, you can name and shame, but to prosecute, you need to prove beyond every reasonable doubt, and you need to send viable evidence to the court to prove that some people have been engaged in criminal activity. Now, for this investigations that Anas did that resulted in the justices, they were named, they were shamed, they were actually removed from the judicial service, but prosecution has not been possible because there was no adequate evidence to prove that they were engaged in criminality. and the Attorney General's Department couldn't have gone to the High Court to prove beyond every reasonable doubt that they had committed crimes. And so it ended up in the naming, the shaming, and the stated misconduct, removing from office, but there hasn't been prosecution.
Right. And I'm just wondering, if you're a victim of some sort and you're taken to courts, and I mean, just the trust. I don't know how long it took for people to gain the trust back with the judiciary system. Or do you feel people still have doubts about the judicial decisions made by judges since then, or progress has been made?
Well, yeah, so a very interesting question. Now, it took a lot of effort, I can tell you, particularly on the side of the then Chief Justice, Judge Nawood. Now, this happened 3 years before her retirement. So that three-year gap that she had after the incidents of 2005, she left office in 2008. She used that period of her term in office to re-engineer confidence in the judiciary. Now, that process was very difficult. And that's because they had to go around the country, speaking to people, assuring people, making sure that decisions that were coming from the court post this event were proper, and that all corruption and corruption-related activities in the judicial service went heavily punished. And so I recall that the first example was to first get these justices who were already caught removed. And once you removed them, it brought some line of confidence. And also to promote some of the justices who were contacted by these investigations, but refused to accept the offers that were made to them. And so that alone painted a picture that, after all, there are justices in the system who are contrite in their minds, who are principled and will not take bribes to do their work. And so you see that it's two-way. Justices were contacted. Some fell to the sword. Others stood up to the challenge. And right. So you used those who stood up to the challenge to combat those who failed the test. And that is one of the things that the then Chief Justice did very well in promoting, to ensure that confidence is regained in the judicial service.
What a good strategy. I hope and wish also Malawi could actually use this, as they are also ongoing investigations. But Wilberforce, how effective are the new reforms that are in place to tackle judicial corruption in Ghana since the scandal?
Well, so I can tell you for a fact that these reforms that were introduced, and the reforms also included remuneration and also conditions of service for these justices. You know, if you take good care of your justices and they are comfortable, they have a good home to live in, they have a good car to drive, they don't have to pay some taxes and all those kind of things, and they live a comfortable life, there will be no reason for them to engage in corruption or corruption-related activities. So I think that the process of getting our judges to the place where they were elevated beyond corruption and corruption-related was holistic. And so it included building them ultra-modern houses across the board, making sure that they are given the best of vehicles. And so, for example, here in Ghana, our Supreme Court justices are entitled to two vehicles. They have an SUV and they have a saloon car. Our Court of Appeal justices are entitled to an SUV, one car. And our High Court justices are also given SUVs, but they are in a smaller grade than the one for the Court of Appeal justices. And so there was a deliberate effort to make sure that the justices are comfortable. Every justice of the High Court, Court of Appeal, Supreme Court, are all entitled to state accommodation. Their car is insured free of charge. They are entitled to a police bodyguard 24/7, home and office, and while they are on the road. So they beefed up the incentives for our justices in order to make sure that they are comfortable and there is no reason for them to go asking for alms from people who have brought their cases before them.
Right. Wilberforce Asare, a Ghanaian Judicial Service analyst, thank you so much for joining us today. That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a part of our community, and your engagement can shape the direction of our discussions. We value and appreciate your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. Remember to follow so you can catch all of the Africa Link podcast episodes. This podcast was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. My name is Josie Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until next time, it's bye for now.
DW, made for minds.